You know, Jennifer and I, we snuck in here about 4.5 years ago, and many of you had no clue who we were. We worshiped with you before we were introduced to the church, and that very first Sunday, we were blown away by the choir here at First Baptist Moultrie and the worship here at First Baptist Moultrie, and we've been blown away for 4.5 years, and thank y'all. Man, what a choir. So if you haven't seen the announcements, today's our reception, which means this is the last sermon I'll preach during my time with you here at First Baptist Moultrie as we prepare to say goodbye. We've got a couple more weeks left. I'll be back. I won't be here next Sunday, but I'll be back to worship with you guys on the 18th and hear our choir perform on the 18th. And looking forward to it. And as Matt extended this offer to me to have one more go in the pulpit before I left, I started praying about what should I preach on. I'm your discipleship and missions pastor, so it makes sense for me to preach a discipleship sermon or a mission sermon. There's a lot of different things that I could have chose from. I got some advice from people. You know, Clint Chaffin, he told me to let them have it. So I don't know what he's got against you guys. But if I let you have it this morning, you can blame Clint. Somebody else told me that I should do the whole service, that I should sing and play instruments and all that. And I told him, I'm nowhere near talented enough for that. I'm not a five tool, player when it comes to ministry. I can proclaim the word. I can't sing the word. I certainly have no instruments I can play. And Matt told me I could preach on anything. So I had a lot to choose from, and I was trying to decide. This is like 10 sermons crammed into one, so I apologize for how long this is going to take. In all seriousness, what I come to the conclusion of is that, guys, I value the word being proclaimed simply from the pulpit. Week in and week out. It's one of the things that's special about First Baptist Moultrie. So I'm coming to you this morning, and I'm preaching not as though it's my farewell sermon, but as though it's just another sermon. And just another, understand when I say that, the mundane, everyday, week in, week out proclamation of God's word is where I believe the power to transform our lives lies. So come to you this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. The slide that you're about to see says 25 through 34. I added verse 24. So we're going to read verse 24 through 34. As you open up your Bibles, let me ask you guys, how many of you have memories that date back to 1988? You got... All right. I turned 40 last week. I remember when I thought that was so old. It's not old. All right? Those of you who calculated how long it was before you were even born in 1988. I was 6 in 1988. There was this song in 1988. Let me ask you guys, how many of you know this song? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Bobby McFerrin came out in 1988. It's one of the first songs I remember singing on the radio. Come on. We'd sing it. It's one of the first music videos that I remember. You know, there used to be these channels that played music videos on TV. Now they just have reality, like really bad reality television. But there were music videos back then, and this video was Bobby McFerrin in a white tuxedo. Anybody else remember this? He starts out whistling, and Robin Williams, he's in the video. It's one of the first things I remember. I just remember that song. It would come on the radio or the TV, and it did something for a 6-year-old me. It made me happy. You know, I stomped my feet and snapped my fingers, and I sang along to it. Do any of you in the choir want to volunteer? Do y'all know the song? Anybody want to sing it? Sing a solo real quick? You know, the song is, here's a little song I wrote You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Bobby McFerrin said with his reggae style there. And like I said, it worked for me. Put a smile on my face. But I was only six. I didn't have a lot of cares in the world. And this simple, don't worry, be happy, put a smile on your face, it worked for me. But I realize the power of that song was really powerful for a six-year-old, and it might have made us kind of tap our toes to the beat, but it really didn't have the power to help us when we were anxious, when we were worried. It just made us feel better for a second. Today in this passage from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to us, if you've got a King James Version, he says, do not worry. Out of the ESV translation that we will be reading from today, do not be anxious. It's a simple statement, but it's profoundly difficult to execute. As we prepare to read from God's Word, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you with thankful hearts, Lord. We are grateful that we can gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ and lift your name high. We can sing about your Son, Jesus. We can proclaim him and praise him and worship him as our Savior, our only hope. And we thank you for that opportunity today. And Lord, as we hear from your word, I just pray that we would submit ourselves to the authority of your word. That we would lay ourselves before your word, allow it to search us, reveal sin in our life, reveal the calling that you have for our life, and that we would be transformed by your word into the image of your Son Jesus, so that we would bring you much glory and honor and praise. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Read with me Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Let me just say this. Long passage, we're going to read it all right now, and we're going to come back and pull it apart. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown out into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In these 11 verses that we just read, anxious, we see it brought up. Do not be anxious. Six times Christ is dealing with this. So as we dig into this passage, I think it's fair to say that he's telling us something about being anxious here, right? He's speaking about anxiety. In this text, it's especially relevant in our time. It's relevant for all times. But right now, in our country, study after study is showing that the anxiety level just keeps ratcheting up, especially in teens and young adults. From 2008 until 2018, a study that was done on 18 to 25-year-olds found that the number of 18 to 25-year-olds dealing with anxiety doubled. That was even before COVID. And a recent study found that 1 in 3 13 to 17 year olds in our country suffer from some form of anxiety disorder. That's anxiety disorder. That's not saying there's more than that who suffer from dealing with anxiety. And 1 in 3 deal with anxiety disorders. Just intense anxiety that's debilitating. Now let me make a disclaimer here while we're talking about anxiety disorders. In this sermon, in this passage we're studying, we're going to define anxiety, not anxiety disorders. They are related, but they're not exactly the same. Anxiety disorders, they're very real. And today, we're going to examine how Jesus tells the follower of Christ they should deal with anxiety. And this dealing with is the scriptural basis for how we deal with anxiety. But please, please do not hear me say that we do not need, or that these things like counseling and medications for anxiety disorders are not effective. I would be a hypocrite for saying that. Okay? I've seen a Christian counselor for anxiety just in the past months. And don't hear me say that Christians shouldn't need these things, because that is not the purpose of this sermon. So today, as we look at this and we pull this text apart, we're going to answer three questions. Three questions that I think the text brings to the surface. As we read the text, these are three questions that must be asked of it. And three questions that I think the text answers. First, what does it mean to be anxious or worried? Second, is it sinful to be anxious? And third, how can the follower of Christ shed the worries and anxiety of this world? As we dig in, we're going to come to this big idea, this big conclusion at the end, that when we seek God's kingdom, the worries of this world, they grow strangely dim. So first question, as I said, well, first thing we're going to look at is, what does it mean to be anxious or worried? You know, we all have an idea of what anxiety is. We all have a definition. The CDC has its definition. It's actually kind of squishy, actually. Like you go and you, like I was doing research for this sermon, and I wanted to see how they might define anxiety, what some of the anxiety studies are showing, and it seems from one study to the next, they don't do a good job of defining what it is, and they often contradict each other in this study versus this study. And that's okay, because, you know, the CDC usually don't agree with God's word these days when it comes to defining what things mean. So it's not a good source. And our gut feeling about what anxiety is isn't a good source. Our text, though, that we're reading here, the Word of God, it is a good source. So we're going to look at the Word today. We're going to look at Christ's words on anxiety. We're going to look at the Word, anxiety itself. And then we're going to look at the context surrounding that Word. And we're going to come to a definition based on Christ's intent, not ours, and not the society that we live in. So first off, let's look at the Greek word used here for anxiety. Merimnao literally means to be troubled with cares. So in verse 25, if we literally translated the word merimnao into the English here, therefore I tell you, do not be troubled with cares. But that raises the question, cares for what? And the context of the passage, the text around this, are going to give us the answers. Do not be troubled with what kind of cares. So read with me first. We're going to back up just a little bit. We're going to look at starting in verse 19. Because in verse 25, Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious. Okay? And any inductive Bible study? I know we've got inductive Bible study people here. What is the therefore? We got to back up to see. So starting in verse 19, Jesus says this: do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Skipping down to verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That is the context of this statement to not be anxious. Therefore, do not be anxious. So it's safe to say that when Jesus is telling us to not be troubled for cares, some of those cares he's telling us not to be troubled about are the worldly treasures. And I say in the blank here, I'm going to put ambitions. He said, like the text, money, but I want to tell you something I've noticed of the church, the Western church, is we come to a text like this and we see money. Well, that doesn't apply to me because I really don't worry about money. But how many of us are worried about the stuff that we need money in order to buy? You see, that's being worried about money. If that's what fuels us, if that's what fires us, if that's what motivates what we do, this text is for us too. So worldly treasures and ambition. Jesus here, he's talking about cares, about worldly treasures and ambitions. But that's not all he's talking about. Verse 25 and 26. Two things here we're going to pull out. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So the second thing that we see there in verse 25, the very first thing he says after do not be anxious, do not be anxious about your life. And if you go, you can go to the Greek here again, and it's not super helpful because it's a very general statement. Don't be anxious about your life. It's not that much, there's not much that much I can add to you by going to the Greek here. It's a general statement about life, the soul, your being. Don't be worried about that. It's pretty all-encompassing. But then Jesus goes on, he talks about, don't be worried about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Those are our cares about our daily needs. Don't be anxious about your daily needs. Now that's not to say we don't make plans. Like he's not saying here that it's sinful to think, what's for dinner tonight? Or to think, you know, what should I wear to that job interview that I've got next week? Like those aren't sinful thoughts. The sinfulness here, the context, is about anxiety over these things. It's anxiety about our daily needs being met by our Heavenly Father. It's anxiousness. So this anxiety, this troubles and cares for, about treasures, ambitions, about life, about our daily needs. And finally, the last thing we see in the passage, 6:34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Last thing he's telling us not to have cares for, or cares about tomorrow, the future. So if we're going to define anxiety the way Jesus does here, do not be troubled with cares about worldly treasures, life, daily needs, about tomorrow. And if we look at that, that's a pretty all-inclusive list, isn't it? Like just about anything we could be worried about fits into one of those buckets. That's what he's talking about, anxiety. Don't be troubled with cares about this world. Cares about treasures, life, daily needs, about tomorrow. First question. Second question I told you we're going to answer from the text is it sinful to be anxious? Jesus, in verse 25, tells us, do not be anxious. So as we ask this question, we need to remember, who is telling us not to be anxious? God the Son. Now, we try to wiggle and get our way out of sin, right? Like, try to redefine the sin in our lives to say that it's not sin. Or to say, well, did he really say that? It was pretty straightforward. Jesus, God the Son, said, do not be anxious. And is it sinful to do something God tells us not to do? The answer is absolutely yes. This isn't the only passage. There's many passages in Scripture that deal with this being anxious about the things of this world, the treasures of this world, about tomorrow, about our life. Philippians 4, 6. Very bluntly, very simply, do not be anxious about anything. So when we come to this question, is it sinful to be anxious? The answer is yes. And there's no way around it. Too often we try to, like I said, we try to avoid classifying what we do as sin. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. This is in the context, this is being written in context of dealing with the conduct of the local church. But there's a strong link made in this passage, this statement between humbling ourselves and casting our anxieties upon the Lord. It reads, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." There's a lot we could pull about out in that passage, and we're gonna look at some of those concepts because they're also in Matthew 6. But I want to make abundantly clear that having the humility here to recognize our action is sin, it's a first step in dealing with sin. You know, when we read a passage and it has something in it that says, that kind of sounds like me, and that's sin, our first instinct is to try to, you know, we try to redefine things. We try to redefine the word. We try to redefine our response, our sin, to make it sound better, to minimize it. Or we just completely ignore it and we celebrate it. We must have the humility as we come to this text and we see Christ's words about anxiety to understand clearly what it is to be anxious and to see clearly that it is sin. We must recognize why it is so dangerous. And Jesus gives us a piece of this in Matthew 6, 31 through 34. He says, "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?'" Here's the key thing. "For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." So here Jesus is saying, you've got these unbelievers over here, and they don't know their Creator. They don't know the Father, the Heavenly Father who provides. So they worry about these provisions. But you, knowing your Heavenly Father and knowing how good He is and how much He loves you and how much care He takes for His creation, you shouldn't worry. These cares are dangerous. They can shipwreck our faith, or worse, keep it from ever taking root. My very first sermon that I preached here was the parable of the soils, the parable of the seeds. Matthew chapter 13. And in that, there's a type of seed that's sown, a type of soil that receives the seed. Verse 22, Jesus talks about it. "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." And in this passage, Jesus makes clear that this that he's talking about here, this person that receives, they hear the word. They might even appear to receive the word, but they can never let go of the cares of the world. And they're so wrapped up in the deceitfulness of riches that the hearing of the gospel proves unfruitful in this person's life. They're not a believer. So these anxieties, they're dangerous. They can shipwreck even the reception of the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes this heartbreaking statement about a man that was his co-laborer in Christ, at least appeared that way. He appeared to be with him, the thick and the thin, to be with him in their ministry of the gospel. But in verse 10, Paul writes, "For Demas, In love with the present world has destroyed me, has deserted me, and gone to Thessalonica. Demas, caught up with the cares of this present world, in love with the present world, deserts Paul and he goes. These cares about the world, they're dangerous because they can shipwreck our faith or keep it from ever taking root. They can ruin our testimony when instead of seeking the things that God tells us to seek, we're seeking the things of the world, like the Gentiles, the unbelievers. So as we answer this question, is it sinful to be anxious? Let's do this. Let's call sin sin, and let's make no excuse for it. Let's repent of it. And now we're going to turn to God's provisions to deliver us from it as we look at the third question. The third question, how can we shed the worries, the anxieties of this world? And I've got there four things to remember from this text. There's actually a fifth, so five things to remember from this text, from five things to remember when we feel anxious or worried or troubled. Because the first one is God's Word. The text itself is God's Word. The text doesn't say turn to God's Word, but the text itself is God's Word. So when we're feeling this anxiousness set in, we're feeling the worries of this world, the cares of this world, when it sets in and it grips us, what are we to do? We're to look to God's Word. Romans 15, verse 4, Paul writes, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." God's Word gives us hope. God's Word gives us instruction to deal with these sins, the sin like anxiety. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that God's Word searches our being for these types of sins. Hebrews 4:12 reads, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." It's a scary statement about God's word. And we often run from this reality of God's word because when we are caught in sin, or we're caught in worry and anxiety, which is sin, we don't turn to God's Word that can search out the intentions of our hearts. Why are we anxious? You know, I went through this in my own life. Just as the last couple months, I've thought through what this transition looks like for Jennifer and I. As you guys know, we're leaving to go be with her mother during this time, to care for her mother. And we don't know what that looks like in a lot of different ways. For me, one of the big things, one of the big sources of anxiety was, how will I provide? How will I provide for my family as we do this? What job will I find? And there's a couple problems with that statement. When I was anxious about it, when I was struggling with anxiety mightily about this, my focus was on what I was going to do. But God's Word searching me, discerning my thoughts and my intentions, transformed how will I provide into God is going to provide. And it transformed what job can I find into where is He calling me. Now, Lord, give me the patience to wait on You and not rush ahead to try to conquer my own fears and my own anxieties, but instead rest in the promises of Your Word. So God's Word, that's the first thing to remember. And we've got to preach it to ourselves, okay? When we struggle with anxiety and we struggle with worries, we've got to break open the Scripture and we've got to preach it to ourselves. Preach it to these fleshly things that try to dwell up and this sin that we have inside of us. Allow the Word to reign over our emotions and our actions. So God's Word, first thing to remember. Second thing to remember, who tells us not to worry? Here in this passage, it's Christ. Christ tells us not to worry. Christ who died for us. Now, if you came into my office and you were dealing with anxiety and worry, and you just you walk in, you say, I'm so torn. I've got this thing. It's caused me so much anxiety and so much worry. And I looked at you and I said, well, don't worry. Probably wouldn't be that comforting, right? Or if I play Bobby McFerrin's song, right? Don't worry, be happy. You probably take my phone and break it, right? Like, this isn't me telling us not to worry. This isn't Bobby McFerrin telling us not to worry, be happy. This is Christ. God the Son, Creator with God the Father, the Word incarnate who died for us, telling us not to worry. It has a whole lot more weight to it, doesn't it? I think a childlike faith looks at this statement and says, okay. Kind of like a daddy telling their little kid when they're young, it's going to be okay. Sometimes it works. Like that's all they need to hear. Crying, it's going to be okay. I think a childlike faith grabs a hold of this and we say, thank you. But Jesus didn't just leave us with this statement. He didn't just tell us not to worry. He told us more. He reminded us of God the Father who takes care of us. Three times in this passage, he appeals to God's care for his creation. He reminds us that these things you're worried about are in the hands of the Heavenly Father who is the provider of these things. Not you. Not the world. He provides all good things, all blessings for his people. And if he cares so much for the grass of the field and the lilies and the birds of the air, how much more will he care for you, his children? So remember God's word when anxiety strikes us. We remember Christ's words not to worry. We remember that God the Father is the one who provides. Fourth thing I want us to see from this text is we remember the futility of worrying. In verse 26, Jesus tells us, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Worry doesn't help. The simple statement he makes there. It doesn't help. There's nothing it can do for you. Prayer helps. God's word helps. Godly counsel helps. Remembering the Father helps. But worrying in your own head about these worldly treasures and worldly desires, it does nothing. And we must remember that. And then lastly, we'll camp out on this one for a minute. The fifth thing to remember when worrying and anxiety hits us is our kingdom purpose. Our kingdom purpose here. Matthew 6:33, Jesus, as an alternative to worry, he tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, this isn't a prosperity gospel statement here. This isn't seek first God's kingdom and you're going to get a bigger house, you get a better car, you get a better job. This is seek first the kingdom of God, and everything that you need is going to be added to you. Because when we have a kingdom mindset, what happens is the things that we desire changes. A kingdom mindset changes the things we desire. We desire eternal treasures instead of earthly. We desire the righteousness of God instead of the ways of the world. And we come to this major realization that we don't exist to acquire earthly possessions. We exist to put the possessions that he has given us to work for his glory and for his kingdom. I share these five things with you not simply as advice that I'm giving. These are things that have worked for me. I told you guys at the beginning, I've had some terrible anxiety. Over the summer, I made a statement. This isn't the reason I've faced anxiety, but it's an ironic statement now. I was counseling somebody that was dealing with horrible anxiety. And I said, I can't relate to your anxiety. I've never experienced that before. And then this fall, I've been crushed at times by anxiety. And a lot of that was because of my anxiety was caught, my worries were caught up in the things of the world. And I'm not going to rationalize it and make excuses for it. You guys know what's going on in our life and what we're dealing with. I could easily say, it's just normal. And it is to some extent. But it's sinful. Sin grips us all. All except for Jesus Christ. So these five things to remember. I'm driving the week of Thanksgiving to interview with a church in Alabama, close to Jennifer's parents. Possible answer to our prayers. We don't know yet. So I'm driving there, and this is my first in-person interview with them, and I get about a mile out. And I'm not the type that gets anxious about interviews usually. But I had this anxiety that just, like, it started with my gut. Like, I just felt it building up. Any of you guys ever felt that? This anxiety that just comes from nowhere and it hits you. And it almost feels like, you can almost feel it rising in your body, right? So this anxiety hits, and it's the worst timing. I'm 15 minutes from this interview. I'm a mile out from the church. And I say, God, what am I going to do? So I pull over. There's a little gas station. And I pull out God's word. I pull out Matthew chapter 6. I've been preparing. I've been preparing for this Sunday. And I start reading it. And I start preaching God's word to myself. Christ tells me not to worry. He tells me not to worry because my Heavenly Father, He takes care of His people. There's no point in worrying. These things I'm worrying about, am I worried about the things of the world, or am I focused on my kingdom purpose? And I'm praying and I'm reading and I'm doing everything I can to keep this from welling up right there. And I get a message on my phone. Facebook Messenger. I don't have that set to notify. I wouldn't have saw it if I didn't have my phone out reading Matthew chapter 6. And it's from a guy here in Moultrie. And he sends me a message. He says, hey, I hear you're getting ready to sell your house. We'd be interested in taking a look at it. You see, I was struggling really hard as I read this passage to myself. What does it mean to seek first His kingdom and all these things will be added to you? Because I was like, God, that doesn't mean I'm going to be rich, and it doesn't mean life is going to be comfortable. Like, what does this mean? Are you going to answer my prayers? See, I was being anxious about, like, I had faith, but I was still anxious. That's so messed up. That's the way our minds work. I had faith that He was going to work it all out, but I was anxious about the details, about how much pain it was going to inflict on me and my family as we followed His will and His purpose for our life. I got this text, and it might as well have been God Himself telling me, don't worry, JR. Stop. Drop it right here. Don't worry about it. I've got it handled, and it's all going to be okay. These five things to remember are powerful because they point us back to our Savior, back to our Heavenly Father, back to His Word, and remind us how much He loves us and how much He cares for us, and remind us that we exist to glorify Him, not pursue the things of this world. So today's big idea, when we seek God's kingdom, the worries of this world, they grow strangely dim. When you're faced with anxiety, when we're gripped by anxiety, we must remember this statement. When we seek after His kingdom, the worries of this world, they will grow strangely dim. We're going to read, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, for an invitation here in just a moment. It starts out, I love this song. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There is light for a look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. This morning, I just want to challenge you. This time of year, anxiety has a tendency to really creep in as we prepare to celebrate Christmas. As we prepare to gather with our family and we think about gifts and presents and what we're gonna put on the table and what it's all gonna look like, those anxieties, those worldly anxieties, although it is, I mean, there's nothing wrong with gathering with your family, but worrying about it and what it's gonna look like, it's a worldly anxiety. They do nothing to put our focus on what we're celebrating, the birth of Jesus Christ, that God came and He dwelt among us. He took on flesh, He dwelt among us, and now He can relate to us and our temptations and our trials. He died on the cross for our sins. That is where our focus should be, not on all these other anxieties. So whether it's anxiety about this Christmas season or anxiety about life in general, as we have an invitation this morning, I just want to challenge you to turn your eyes upon Jesus, to lay your anxieties at His feet so that you can live out your kingdom purpose of proclaiming the goodness of our Savior and our Heavenly Father, the goodness of His provisions when we seek after His kingdom, which will be everything that we need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, and we confess that we are a people bent on worrying about the wrong things. All too often, we worry about what we don't have, what we want, what we don't know. And we take our focus off of You. So Lord, we confess that to You. Lord, we lay our anxieties at Your feet. Lord, we ask You to deliver us from those worries and those anxieties, that we could be a people who are living in our kingdom purpose, living in the provisions that our Heavenly Father has given us, living in faith of the provisions that You will continue to give us, to do all that You have called us to do. In the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.